Thank you all for joining us. It's terrific to see you. I'm delighted to be able to share some time together with you. And this is the first Thursday of January 2021. This is Dr. Will Tuttle. I'm here with Madeline in Florida. Oh, here comes Madeline.
There she is.
Hello.
Good to see you all. So we're at Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach. What we'd like to do, of course, this is basically the World Peace Satsang. It's a time really focused a little bit more on meditation and introspection and connection with our inner resources and inner wisdom. And we're also fine to discuss things that are happening in the world, but that's a little bit more reserved for our third Thursday, which is more the issues and so forth and conflicts and questions and problems that we're having. This first Thursday meeting is the idea is to give us an opportunity, kind of a safe space to go within and feel our connection with the deeper aspect of ourselves. And so what we usually do is we start out with a short meditation together, shorter, not too long. And then maybe I'll talk a little bit about some ideas that I've been thinking about in the last few days or weeks or minutes. And then open it up for any questions or comments you may have. And we really try to keep this only to 1 hour, so not to go longer than an hour. Great. So bless you all. Much love to you. The whole essence of this, really, from my point of view, is love in the sense of respect and kindness for each other, for animals, for ecosystems, for other human beings, and doing the best we can to see through the deceptions that are pretty pervasive right now in the mainstream media and very often in our own minds and in our perception of the world. And I don't claim to have the one right answer for what's really happening in the world. So hopefully together we can deepen our wisdom together in this whole thing. All right. So what I'm going to do now is just go ahead and initiate our meditation time. And this is really an open time. I'm not sure how long it's going to last. I kind of recommend, everybody is muted here. And, I think that's best for the meditation. You can have your screens on if you'd like. Some people maybe like to turn them off just so you don't have to worry about what you look like or whatever. And then and then afterwards in our discussion, of course, feel free to turn them off or do it. You can do it however you like. There's no strong rule or anything, but it's just up to you. All right, so let's go ahead and begin our time together. And turning our attention within. In the past, when we've been able to do these at our home in Northern California, it's been great. I've been able to sit at the piano and play the piano, and we have musical accompaniment. So we have to kind of just imagine that perhaps on some level. I think that's not all that important. We can enter into the stillness of our own inner sanctuary, which is always present. I think it's really beautiful to remember that no matter what's happening in the outer world, that what we are is a being. And as a being, we transcend in a very fundamental way the comings and goings of what is happening on this plane of existence. In many ways, in a similar fashion that the sky transcends the coming and going of clouds. And so we can, we contain the clouds. The clouds appear, perhaps from a certain perspective. They can look big and threatening, or they can look bright and cheerful. They can look all different ways. But from the point of view of the sky, there's a reality that's infinitely greater, that the sky and its radiant, eternal nature is always self-possessed and at peace. And this is the ever-present sanctuary of being that we can begin to, and I guess not just begin, but continue to develop a relationship with or understand as our true nature. And this, I think, is a great gift that we give to ourselves, to our own inner peace, to our health, to the feeling of freedom that we have. And I would also say it's probably one of the greatest gifts we can give to the people in our lives that we care about, and to the whole web of life here, to the whole human family. Because when we remember and recollect and cultivate our connection with the transpersonal dimension of our lives that is ever present, then we begin to connect, I think, more deeply with our intuitive wisdom, with the inner guidance system that we have to help us live our lives not merely as conditioning and conditioned responses based on what we like and what we don't like, and what we're afraid of and what we're hoping for and what we're hoping doesn't happen and so forth, to the witness of what's happening, to observing, being aware, and then sending love and kindness and compassion and joy and peace out into the web of relations. We can begin to be part of the solution from moment to moment rather than merely being part of the problem. So I'm hoping that you can all hear me okay. If you have anything you'd like to convey to me, it's probably the easiest just to type it into the chat box. You should mention that. So I'm hoping you can hear me. I'll maybe hold this little mic a little closer to my speaking source. So let's continue our meditation time and give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have to share some precious moments together, knowing that we're basically on the same page, that this is a safe space of relaxing into this moment, that we all agree at a fundamental level that we are here to do the best we can to bring healing into human relations with animals, with ecosystems, with each other, and the source of our life, and with our own microbiome and all the little organisms inside of us, the inner ecology and all of our cells, and to carry on the adventure of our life in a way that is meaningful and authentic, and in some sense is an example, a positive example of that radiates into the world for others. Not that we're trying to manipulate others in any way, but I think we all know in our hearts that one of the main purposes of our life here on this earth is our relationships with other human beings and the quality of those relationships. How we can learn, how we can teach, how we can grow, how we can help others and serve. So we give thanks for this precious time we have together and for this precious opportunity of a human life, which has its unique challenges and opportunities. According to the Buddhist tradition, a human birth is the best of all births. At the higher realms, there's really too much comfort. We don't really practice hard enough. The lower realms, gosh, it's just so much suffering, we can hardly practice at all. But the human realm, kind of in the middle, is just the right amount of suffering. Not too much, but just enough to keep us on our toes, keep us moving forward, keep us reflecting, and to help us question the official narratives, perhaps, that are playing through our minds that are actually not in accord with reality. Because if they're not, we are going to be getting feedback. And the feedback is very important. So instead of numbing ourselves to feedback, which very often we do, and our whole society sort of teaches us to do that, and the diseases that crop up in our lives from doing that, we sensitize ourselves to feedback. So let's just have a feeling about that right now. Let's cultivate in our heart this feeling of giving thanks for this precious human life, for the feedback that we're getting, both the unpleasant and the pleasant feedback. We give thanks for the pleasant feedback when we see things that are beautiful and uplifting and inspiring, that are reassuring, that are helping us to feel part of a benevolent unfolding on this planet. So we give thanks for those, all of that feedback. And I think let's also really connect with that awareness that we can give thanks for feedback also in our lives that is not pleasant. That sometimes the greatest gift we receive is a certain type of remorse, perhaps, or pain, sadness, awareness that we've harmed others, or that haven't understood things properly, that we can repent, we can correct ourselves, that this feedback will help us to move in the right direction, to rectify errors that we've been making, help us see obstacles that we've been blind to in our lives, help to make us better people, more in alignment with our true nature, help expand our horizons, clarify our mind and remove toxins that maybe have been causing discomfort or harm to ourselves and to others. So giving thanks for the unpleasant or painful feedback that we're receiving, as the ancient Chinese used to say, that which is bitter in the beginning will be sweet in the end. That basic idea that this, and very often, they also say what is sweet in the beginning very often is bitter in the end. You know, it's not always true, but this idea that we can transform through our awareness and through witnessing, we can reframe things and learn. It's really about learning. So let's just resensitize ourselves right now to this awareness that we are open to feedback. We're open to feedback, that we are open to learning, and open less to judge and criticize and blame others for feedback we don't like, and more open to giving thanks and perhaps bowing in gratitude for the feedback that we're receiving. This perhaps can be the greatest gift in this lifetime, is receiving this kind of feedback. In whatever way it comes, it may come from people, it may come from animals, it may come just from the unfolding of difficult and challenging events in our lives, the events themselves, what we're perceiving in the outer world, all of it. And I think as a collective, as human beings living on this earth, and as Americans living in the United States, or as people living in the Western culture, we have a morphogenetic field, as Rupert Sheldrake would say, that there are fields of consciousness that we are part of, that we contribute to, that affect us. So let's now, as part of our meditation, connect with our breathing. Just relax with every exhalation. With every exhalation, letting go into this moment. Being aware of our breath. There's nothing else right now than our breath. Knowing that with every breath, we inhale oxygen that then courses through our veins into every cell of our body, trillions of cells. With each breath, receive life-giving oxygen through literally tens of thousands of miles of blood vessels, capillaries. Within a few seconds, our cells are energized with oxygen, with prana. As we inhale and as we exhale, we release toxins. We release and let go of things that are no longer needed. That this basic rhythm, this basic music of our physiology is the foundation of our lives. It's always happening. There's a musical unfoldment that is ever playing, that our heart is one of the primary reliable drum beats, and that there is a beautiful, literally, ultimately, completely unstoppable force that is instigating every single beat of our heart. That it goes on and on, this rhythm, and that there are thousands and thousands of other rhythms, some shorter, some faster, within our physical body, within our mental body, within our emotional and spiritual bodies, that all these rhythms are interconnected, and that what we are is a harmonious unfolding in many ways, in many dimensions of music and vibration, and that we hear each other. We feel each other's rhythms and melodies and harmonies, that as we breathe together, we are in training with each other. Our rhythms are coming into synchronicity with each other. We're synchronizing our breathing together. We're synchronizing our thoughts and feelings together. We're synchronizing the focus of our minds together. We're radiating a white light into the whole world of peace and love and compassion and joy together. We're abiding in an awareness of the eternal dimension of our life together, and this builds a momentum that sends harmony into the infinite web of relations on this earth, sends harmony into all of the various institutions in our society, sends harmony into all of the families of people in North America, in South America, in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, in Australia, everywhere on this earth. We see all the families and all the gatherings and all the single people in training on a deep level to a rhythm of peace and harmony, of kindness and compassion and understanding, of freedom and joy and gratitude, of truth in the unity of the spirit of life that enlivens each and every one of us as a cell in the larger organisms of which we are a part. We just abide now in love and kindness, breathing and radiating love and kindness, letting it flow out in every exhalation, breathing and radiating love, and abiding in love in our true home, abiding in compassion for all living beings. There's no one that we exclude from our loving kindness. There's no one we exclude from our compassion. We especially feel compassion and love for those who may be difficult for us. And we especially feel compassion for ourselves and love for the unique being that we are. All beings, we send our love and compassion that they be free from suffering, the causes of suffering, and awaken to the wisdom of being that helps to eliminate suffering. So we breathe and radiate compassion, and we continue with our harmony together and abiding in joy, the basic joy of being, the joy of the sky. When we listen deeply, we can hear the joyful laughter of the source of all life, unfolding beautiful flowers and trees and babies of all species, and flowing through the relations, the spectacular, magnificent unfoldment of creation on this earth and in innumerable worlds. So we feel the joy of being in every cell of our being, breathing and radiating joy, and just allowing this feeling of joy to overflow from our heart, filling the entire world, the whole web of relations, with the truth of joy that underlying everything there is the joy of being, the adventure of the infinite creative possibility of a life, of an experience, an expression, an awareness. And finally, we abide in peace. We harmonize and entrain our consciousness together as peace and equanimity. Whatever arises in the outer world will pass away again. Guaranteed. But what does not pass away is awareness, eternal, ultimately unharmable. We watch. We send our compassion and love and joy. And we see the whole earth now engulfed in the truth of infinite peace, abiding in this infinite peace with all living beings, entraining our consciousness and our group together, and at a deeper level with everyone, people who are commuting to work, people who are sleeping, people who are preparing breakfast, whatever they're doing, at a deeper level, we are connecting in the great awareness of the unity of peace and harmony and compassion and love for all. We're all aware of that. And we give thanks for the quickening of the spirit that is happening within the human race, giving thanks that we are, in our own unique way, contributing to the awakening of humanity. Every day of our life, we are part of the awakening on this earth of human consciousness. We are contributing every day, and in our own unique way, we are part of the awakening. We have our unique gift to present, perhaps multiple gifts, and we just allow these gifts to flow through us with gratitude, and we receive the beautiful bounty of gifts of all of our brothers and sisters as they are on their path to retrieve the gifts that are perhaps deeply buried under layers of wounding, to present these gifts so as we begin to close our time now of meditation and begin to bring our attention back to our shared space, we know that the deeper harmony that we have with the source of our life is always unbroken. That nothing we do can ever cut us off from the infinite living web of life and from the infinite source of all life. We are always a beloved expression of life. And as a beloved expression of life, what can we do but to love other beloved expressions of life in ways that they can understand? Do our best to honor and respect all expressions of life. So we have a nice, gentle, internal smile. Just allow that sense of an inner smile to spread into every cell of our being. Just feeling every cell of our being smiling and rejoicing and reconnected with our purpose. Every cell of our physical body is now getting the message that we are grateful that we have a purpose that is ours uniquely, and that in every moment of our life and every day, we are contributing that through our thoughts and words and actions, and that every cell in our body is empowered to contribute to our life. Any disharmony in our body or mind is dissolving. And we go forth from our time together this evening into our world and into our life with renewed clarity and sense of spaciousness and generosity, knowing that the foundation of our life is ultimately unmovable. An ocean of transparent glass that is indestructible. That the world is always in some way a mirror designed to reflect back to us just what we need for the next stage of our growth. So instead of blaming the mirror, we can just look and learn from what is being reflected back to us in the moment. Breathing together, coming back into our shared space. We give thanks for each other. We give thanks for the beautiful animals we share this earth with. We give thanks for all the other human beings who are working diligently to bring greater peace and joy and truth into our world. And we give thanks knowing that together we are awakening in ways that ultimately liberate not just humanity, but animals, ecosystems, and consciousness itself through the power and presence of the indwelling wisdom that is ever present and is our true nature. And so it is. Okay, so again, thanks all of you for your presence, and it's beautiful to see you, but those and feel your presence. I know there's this sort of technological mediation going on here. It would be great if we were all out maybe by the ocean with a campfire, and we're all sitting around and it's warm, there's palm trees, and we're looking and talking to each other or something. So this is like the virtual campfire, I guess. This is what we can do nowadays. And take it in our own unique ways as best we can to shine the light. So we've just had, kind of a tumultuous beginning of 2021. I know that there's probably a whole lot of questions that we had in our minds about what's been happening in the last day or two and what's going to be happening as things go onward here. And I would just want to say we should be very careful not to judge things too much on the surface. We need to probably look more deeply. But ultimately, perhaps to see everything as an opportunity. So usually with these satsangs, I've been talking a little bit like a little Dharma talk and then opening it up for questions. So I'm looking just now before I get started to see if there's any comments that I need to honor. There's a question from Judy. How's my mother? That's so nice of you, Judy. Thanks for asking. And yes, we're in touch. We're in Florida. We're not far away. We're just a couple hours away. I haven't seen her now for a few days. We've been down here at Hippocrates doing events, and then we'll be driving back and forth between Orlando and Hippocrates. But she's doing pretty well. I think, you know, basically she's on a, I kind of hate to say it, but on a sort of slow downward. It seems like that's what all the hospice people say. She's getting weaker. She's on oxygen, but she's still eating, and she's still in basically good spirits and not in pain and clear mentally. And so we're, you know, in touch with her by phone all the time. So thank you for your concern and prayers. And it would be great if our mothers never died and they just lived forever. And, you know, that would be so wonderful, I guess, maybe. But, you know, the way this works is that's actually true. You know, we never, you know, the Buddhists say that every single being you ever meet has been your mother and you've been their mother, you know, in the infinite round of birth and death. So everyone you see and experience at some point held you at their breast and gave you your life, and you did the same for them. So we can we can always find within ourselves a feeling of love and compassion for others, knowing that we're interconnected in that way. And on a deeper level, we are not the being that is born and dies. We are the being that, in a sense, vivifies the appearance that's appearing on the screens here, you know, that we're seeing. So yeah, it's a sobering time, you know, when our mothers pass, and it really brings that sense of, you know, looking at her and feeling so much love and wishing she could live forever and having all these memories going back to, you know, my very first memory, I think, was when I was maybe 3 years old, I think I was, or no, I was 2 years old. I remember my little brother, my younger brother, Ed, had just been born. That's my earliest memory. And I remember he was suckling at my mother's breast in the bedroom. And I walked in and I was looking at my mother and my brother. And I was like, well, I thought that was my breast. You know, what are you doing? but it was okay. I was happy. I wasn't on it anymore. So I thought he can have it. But, you know, and then all the memories from then, I mean, gosh, endless memories. And, to really make peace, I think it's really important to make peace with our mothers and have a sense of just deep gratitude. They did the best they could. And, so I'm very grateful to my mother, and it's wonderful, really. She's been a great mother. I really can't complain. And she said something to me the other day. You know, she doesn't talk much. She's just quiet. She just doesn't say anything to anybody, hardly ever. But she seems to be very alert and aware. She has very good seeing, very good hearing. She hears everything. It's very interesting. Then she just looked at me and she said, "Well, you did it." I didn't know what she was talking about. She said, "You did it." You know, she's like really excited. "You did it. You did it." You know. And I said, "Thanks, Mom. You know, I'm not sure what it was I did, but she said, you did it." And so on some level, she was conveying something that I had done something. And later she said she was very proud of me, you know, that kind of thing. So it's nice, you know, to have that feedback from one's mother at the very end of their lives. But I think, you know, ultimately, I'm just really great, you know, really grateful for the opportunities that I had as a little kid to be raised in a society that I have to say in some ways didn't have the kinds of problems that we have today. My heart goes out to kids who are born into a world, a virtual world of computers. I mean, now with having to wear masks, all these fear-based things. I had no rules. I was raised in a family with, my father said, go wherever you want, whenever you want. You know, we never locked the doors. I was just running around. I'd ride my bike or walk miles into town and go to the store and buy candy and come home and do whatever I wanted. There wasn't any fear where I grew up that I really was ever aware of. So, I think, there's, unfortunately that's been lost and it does a lot of wounding, I think, to all of us. But it's, important, I think, for all of us, whatever the outer world is, to try to remember, the ancient spiritual teachings. And I thought maybe, I would just read a few lines from the Dhammapada. I just read this morning, and I think it kind of reflects on a few things I've been saying, you know, about my mother, but just about our relationships in general. You know, one of the main ideas in the Dhammapada, which is sort of considered the essence of the original teachings of the Buddha, it means Dharma path or path of teaching, is that it's very important who we hang out with. That, you know, it's called right association, that we be very careful about the people we associate with. And so right here, I won't read the entire one, but this is chapter 6. There's these different chapters, and they're very short chapters. This one is called the sage or wise person. And so this is a few of the stanzas. It's very poetic. Do not associate with evil friends. Do not associate with the lowest of people. Associate with virtuous friends. Associate with the best of people. One who drinks in the Dharma sleeps happily with a clear mind. The sage always delights in the Dharma taught by the noble ones. Irrigators guide water. Fletchers shape arrows. Carpenters fashion wood. Sages tame themselves. So those three stanzas, I think, he's emphasizing this idea of, you know, learning as best we can from people who have qualities that we would like to emulate. And of course, I wouldn't like to interpret this in a way where we say, well, you know, I'm not going to help people who are having difficulties because I don't want to come down to their level. I think there's, a certain issue in the teachings. But I think the basic idea is that, especially in the beginning of our spiritual path, when we're kind of a young tree and we're growing, if we're not careful, we can get trampled. You know, if we just associate with people who really are sort of have the opposite of those values, we can lose our way very easily. So the idea is to get strong. And so there's always been this idea of having a spiritual community of people who strengthen each other and support each other in the path. And then when we get to be a big, strong tree, then in a way we can really be shade and be help and serve. And even people who are very conflicted and so forth, we can find wisdom and compassion and understanding to help everyone. So we can associate with people, all kinds of people, but to make sure we're stable and strong before we try to do that. And then I'll read a couple more. As a solid mass of rock is not moved by the wind, so a sage is unmoved by praise or blame. As a deep lake is clear and undisturbed, so a sage becomes clear upon hearing the Dharma. Virtuous people always let go. They don't prattle about pleasures and desires, touched by happiness and then by suffering. The sage shows no sign of being elated or depressed. So there's that basic idea. I've talked about this, in, I think, in other times maybe, of the eight winds, you know, just being able to have things that we like and don't like, come and go. Praise and blame, gain and loss, fame and infamy, suffering, so forth, and pleasure and pain. And to see that we are the field within which these things are arising. And then this is, I think, a good one. A person who would not wish for success by unethical means, not for the sake of oneself, not for the sake of others, not with hopes for children, wealth, or kingdom, is a person of virtue, insight, and truth. So that basic idea, the ends and the means have to follow. Few are the people who reach the other shore. Many are the people who run about on this shore. So that, in a way, that kind of sums it up. I mean, the idea in all of this is to, in a sense, realize, it's the idea is to get to the other shore. And of course, the paradox is that we actually are already on the other shore, but we don't realize it. So we're trying to get there, but we're actually there. We actually are on the other shore, but by not understanding that and trying to fix our people and fix ourselves and compete and manipulate and so forth, we run about endlessly on this shore. And this shore basically is considered to be a samsara, which never ends if we don't awaken out of it. All right, so I don't want to read. I'll read a couple more. And then this is toward the end. But those who are in accord with the Dharma, with the well-taught Dharma, will go beyond the realm of death so hard to cross. Giving up dark ways, sages cultivate the bright. They go from home to homelessness, to the solitude so hard to enjoy. There they should seek delight. Abandoning sensual desires, having nothing, sages should cleanse themselves of what defiles the mind. Those who fully cultivate the factors of awakening, give up grasping, enjoy non-clinging, and have destroyed the toxins, are luminous and completely liberated in this life. So that's that chapter. So I think, again, the underlying idea here is that we alone really ultimately take responsibility for the quality of our consciousness and for the quality of our relationships. So that's a beautiful thought. I was born and raised in Concord, Massachusetts, and I think I remember reading Thoreau. I don't know if you've ever read Walden by Thoreau. And there's a line in there where he says, I know of nothing more, this is sort of a paraphrase, nothing more optimistic and nothing more uplifting than the understanding that by our own efforts, we can actually improve our lives. By our own efforts, we can improve our consciousness, our awareness, we can grow. And he was out there by Walden Pond, and he would spend hours and hours just sitting in silence, looking at the sun moving across the leaves. And he said, and in those hours, I grew like corn in the night. He was aware of something growing in him by listening and observing and getting in harmony with nature. So I think that's really, it's so important today. And I'll wrap it up here so we can hear some of your questions. The idea of taking responsibility for the quality of our own lives, our own consciousness, our own relationships, and through that being a force for healing in the world, not expecting others to make me feel better, but being the one who, in a sense, tries to bring healing to others. And I think as we take time in our own cultivation and connect with our true nature and also connect in an authentic way with the beauty of nature, the beauty of the earth around us, I think the greatest teachers, and this is something that's really reflected in the ancient wisdom teachings, we can really learn from birds, from trees and flowers, from the water, the sound of water in a stream. We can learn a lot from nature to really take time, if we can, to enter into a relationship with the natural world in an open and receptive way. And I think that's one of the things, here at Hippocrates, there's all this emphasis on food, there's an emphasis on cutting-edge technology and saunas, there's all this ways of healing, and a big emphasis on finding the purpose in your life. People come here from all over the world, especially all over the United States and Canada, Right now, there's not so much travel from Europe. There are some Europeans here, but and they have diabetes, and they have skin diseases, and they have high blood pressure, and they have obesity, and they have endless problems. And so everybody's working and eating sprouts and clean, organic, raw foods, and doing all these energy medicine on beds and all this. But it's 60 acres of incredible natural beauty. I think that's one of the best things. It's just all this fresh air, and they've planted over 3,000 trees, you know, so it's like this jungle of palm trees and flowers and fruit trees and fountains. There must be over 100 fountains on this property. And lake, there's about 4 or 5 ponds and waterfalls, and I mean, it just goes on and on. So just having, you know, just kind of walking around and being sort of bathing in this kind of nature. And there's raccoons and animals, all, you know, running around, lizards and all kinds of things. Iguanas, you know, huge, gigantic iguanas and ducks and osprey and all kinds of birds and things. So there's this sense of a community of life. And I think we human beings, that's part of the big, one of the worst things about animal agriculture is we feel so ultimately guilty of just slaughtering animals all the time. We've left our kinship with nature, our kinship with animals. We're cast out of the garden of Eden, out of this beautiful garden by our violence towards animals. So when we go vegan, it's really important, I think, to, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not part of that. And I can go into nature, and these are my friends, and you know, this is a beautiful place, and really feel that our cells just come alive, I think, with that awareness of the life and beauty and prana energy of nature and the sunlight and the stars and the moon and the clouds and the infinite cosmos around us, to really take time to cultivate our relationship with the eternal healing power of nature. And it's in the living foods, it's in the beauty that we see, just the way the leaves unfold, and you know, the miraculous. I mean, it's amazing that the perfection of every cell of every leaf being fed, you know, how they all have their dance together, you know. It's just something that it just feeds us. I think that's the real food, as what comes in and filters into our body through our eyes and ears and through our thoughts and feelings and through our meditation. So whatever happens, you know, when we get so disconnected from that, we start acting in ways that are a little bit irresponsible. And I think that's really, we can heal it in the world by healing it first in ourselves. That's what it all comes back to, I think. All right, I'll stop here. So does anyone have anything they'd like to share? I noticed Anna Ferguson is with us, and maybe I'll just go ahead and unmute Anna, or you can press *6. I'll be on Sunday, I think it is, yeah, Sunday speaking for World Peace Yoga. So is that working? Anna, can you speak? Or my wife says ask to unmute. I think I must have my settings wrong.
I got it. Thank you.
You got it figured out? Okay, good.
Yeah, great to see everyone. And thanks for, I missed the first part of the meditation, but was able to catch the end, and just great to be with everyone. Looking forward to having Will here at World Peace Yoga to talk a little bit about Buddhism on Sunday at Patrick is actually going to be leading a guided meditation pranayama that will lead into the talk with Will. So it's an hour and a half event, but you can join anytime, and we're really looking forward to it.
Great, thanks, Anna. The six paramitas I'm speaking on, I think.
Yeah, the six paramitas.
Yeah. So if you're interested, I'm going to do kind of a talk on the six paramitas, which is a Buddhist teaching. These are the paramita means going beyond. So these are the sort of the six. It's just one aspect of the Buddhist teachings that focus on actual practices we can do in daily life to help us get to the other shore. That's the idea, you know, get to the other shore. This shore is where we're kind of like lost in the sort of delusion of
thinking we're fundamentally separate selves and trying to get what we want and manipulate each other as instruments to get what we want. And we're kind of always in conflict on some level. And when we awaken to our true nature, we realize that there's one life living through all of us. And these six paramitas are sort of an ancient teaching to connect us with our true nature. So I'll be talking about that. And like Anna said, we'll be having a meditation. So please join us for that if you'd like. Does anyone else have a question or a comment or anything? We have a little time before we close. I'm happy to respond to
What time is that on Sunday?
That's at 11:30, right? I think 11:30 Eastern time. 11:30.
Yeah, the meditation and breathing will start at 11, and then 11. Will start at 11:45.
Okay, so it's good. So it's from 11, the whole thing is from 11 to 1, I think, Eastern time.
11 to 12:30. Although
11 to 12:30? Okay, sorry. 11 to 12:30. Perfect. So, okay, so thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any anything you'd like to yes, Judy. Yes. Can you unmute? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you all something. I noticed this just before your call started. It's another call happening at this very same time with One Spirit Learning Alliance. And what I noticed was so cool. Reverend Diana Berkey, I don't know a lot about this group, but anyway, she said that the subject is going to be joy as an act of defiance. And I love that. And it went on to say, in the face of a, quote, politics that aspires to make us fearful, alienated, and isolated, unquote, let us use joy as an act of defiance. So I thought, you mentioned joy quite a bit in the meditation, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that fits so well. Rebecca Solnit is who was quoted there. So anyway, just to give her credit, so let's use joy as an act of defiance and make this vegan world come true.
I really do like that, actually, because, you know, the whole thing of dividing us, making us afraid of each other, and making us and making us think that the other side's crazy and whatever. We're picking sides all the time, and whose side are you on? And it really causes a contraction. So what she's saying actually is connecting it to the deeper wellsprings of our true nature. And that's it. We're not really, we're not fighting, but we are in a sense defying. I think that's in a way it's a good word, defying the momentum and the push and the pressure to be imprisoned, really, in delusion, and see each other as the enemy. So, great.
Yeah, there's a Christian song about Paul and Silas being in prison, and it's something like, and in their pain, they began to sing. And as they sang, their chains were broken, and they were free. I didn't say that exactly right, but something like that. And so that's, I think, what she's getting at in this act of defiance. It sounds aggressive in a way, but when you hear it the way she means it, as just be joyful, being joyful and being joyful together, and saying, okay, you guys can do your thing, but hey, we're going to have our joy. And it defies those chains.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That opens, there's lots we can say about that, but yeah. I can, I think, it's a very, very profound, actually, sentiment. So,
yeah.
good food for thought, for contemplation. And thank you. Thanks, Judy, for letting us know about that. Great. Anyone else? We have a few more minutes here. Precious minutes.
Yeah, okay. I would add to the joy and beauty conversation, because I think what is holding things together right now is those that are staying connected to, like, seeing the beauty in themselves, seeing the beauty in others, and experiencing, like, feeling joy and feeling love by seeing beauty, which you talked about in your meditation, Will, and how these higher vibrations are what's balancing the really low vibrations, and how important it is to be together and to be doing this and to keep our vibrational frequencies up, because that really truly is making a huge impact right now.
Yes. Great. Thanks for saying that, Anna. Yeah, I think that what you're saying is really important. You know, if we can keep our vibrational frequency at a certain point, then the lower vibrations, in a sense, can't grab us. I mean, can't actually affect us so much. And I think we all know that. It's like, as a vegan, I think at the very beginning, right, I smelled pork chops. I was like, ooh, that smells good. You know, it's kind of like I'm still vibrating at the frequency of pork chops. So I want one. And after a few years, it's like, nah, it's not interesting, you know. We can be at a level where we can help others also. I think by raising our frequency, it raises the frequency of everyone. And that's really important. So I'll say, anyone else? Susan. Okay.
Hi, Will. Great to see everybody. I just actually thank Anna. Just a technical issue. Thank you for sending me the link, but I'm still having trouble registering. So is there like a telephone number to call or something if I'm having technical problems signing in for Sunday?
Yes, you can call me at 513-300-9642.
Oh, great. Thank you. Sorry.
Maybe, Anna, you can just put that in the chat. Maybe if you are, you don't have to, whatever, but you've got that, I guess. Good. Okay. So, Deborah, did you want to say something?
It was the same question, but if you want to put the link in the chat, Anna, then I can see if I can enroll. And do you send a recording of this to each of us, or how? I missed most of the meditation. How would I?
Yes. Yeah. So basically everything, this call is right now that we're doing is recorded. And, so what I'll do later today or tomorrow morning is, just, you know, edit a tiny bit the music out in the beginning, and then I'll just upload it, to our website, to the World Peace, it's the World Peace Mastery Program website. So it is there, and everything is archived, and then I send out an email with a link. So if you get an email from me, it'll have the link and you can listen to it. If for some reason you don't get the email, the link is always on, the World Peace, if you're on Facebook, the World Peace Life Facilitator, group. And actually, I'll just put the link. It's the same link. It's the same link all the time. It never changes. So, I'm putting it in right now. I'm putting the link in. There. I just put it in the chat. So that's the link, worldpeacemastery.com/circle/conference.html. That always has the recordings of every first Thursday and third Thursday call that we've ever done for like the last 8 years. I mean, there's more to listen there than you can ever listen probably, but it's all great stuff. Yeah. Thanks. That's a great question. Thank you. All right. Well, we're pretty much at our hour here. And, I know this has been an amazing time. I mean, for our country and for the world. And we're going into, a lot of people are going, wow, 2020, that started out like such a great year. And why, what a nightmare it was. It was so terrible. Hope 2021 is better. So the Lama in the Tibetan Buddhist Center where I lived for a while in San Francisco, he had a saying, be not hopeful, be not hopeless. Just do your best, you know, and I kind of use that nowadays. Being hopeful is maybe kind of hoping that somebody's going to do something, and being hopeless is like, oh, I'm giving up here. But just, we don't know what's going to happen in the outer world, but whatever we can do our best to be part of the solution. So, again, I want to thank all of you for being part of the
solution in your own way, in your own unique way, and for helping to bring compassion and kindness and peace into our world. It's wonderful to see you. And please feel free to give me the feedback, what you'd like. I really feel like it's good not to have this thing go on too long. I think an hour is really good. So if you want to see any changes in the format, if you'd like me to talk shorter and have more time for interaction, or if you like the, you know, I'm talking most of the time. I'm doing the meditation and the Dharma talk, but it feels like that's just kind of how it's going. But if you really would like me to do less of that and just have more interaction and sharing, you know, let me know. It's really an opportunity for us as a community to come together, see each other. But I do feel, I have the feeling, a lot of you probably agree with this, that it's the just the connection and the inner reality and reminders, I guess, that we can share together to help all of us. All right. So, anything else before we go?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Dr. Wills. Excuse my ignorance, and I don't know if it's appropriate timing, but I often, when I'm discussing animals, the people will say to me, well, animals eat animals, so why shouldn't we? I haven't meditated on or grooved into a good, concise reason to respond to them. Could you help, please?
Okay, briefly, but this
they
is
say
probably...
it's okay for us to eat animals.
Right. Well, can you hear me okay like this? I unplug my little thing. Briefly, okay, you know, that's kind of a long question, but I'll just do it briefly. The basic thing is it's best not to argue with people. Like if you say, well, you know, so animals eat animals, you know, why can't we eat animals? And I say, well, no, you're wrong. You know, we don't need to eat animals because we have a whole physiology that's not designed to eat animals, and we don't really start salivating when we see a little squirrel and can't wait to have the hot blood in our mouth and eat that squirrel. You know, that's not how we are. But the whole idea from my point of view is don't try to argue with them and fight with them and tell them they're wrong and you're right and you're a vegan. Vegans are always right and they're always wrong. You know, try to stay away from that dynamic and just say, you know, that's a good question. You know, I'll think about that and just kind of talk about it cooperatively, like, you know, and just use I statements. Like I used to think the same thing, and then I realized actually the only reason I was eating animal foods was because I was just following orders and eating them. And I realize that actually there's a lot of animals that don't eat other animals. In fact, more animals don't eat other animals than eat them. There's a few top carnivores, but most animals actually are herbivores. And then I realized that, gosh, if I really look carefully at my physiology, it's actually an herbivore physiology, you know, and I did some studying and I realized that. And then I realized, gosh, you know, eating a plant-based diet is better for the earth, for my health and for animals and so forth. And just use I statements, you know, just be friendly. It's not so much what we say, you know, it's like everybody wants to have the right comeback. Like we're going to win the argument. It's, I think in the big picture, it's not what we say, it's how we say it is more important than anything. You know, how we say it, who we are as we're saying it, how we're connecting, if we're being, you know, honoring and respecting the person and not just trying to win an argument and put them down or whatever. Ultimately, they'll still keep eating animals. But if we just share our own experience and what we discovered and use, you know, I statements, then I think in the big picture, they may listen and we may just plant seed. Instead of trying to change the person and make them be like us, you know, which they're going to resist, just instead of that, sort of plant seeds of truth. You know, say, gosh, you know, I realize this, I realize that. I realize there's lots of things animals do. That's another one I like to say. God, and make it funny. There's lots of things animals do, right? But we don't emulate that. You know, I mean, some animals, you know, when they get hungry, they eat their babies, right? You don't see some guy coming home and say, well, sorry, honey, I got hungry. I ate the baby, you know. I mean, animals go up to the trees at night and spend the night. Animals do all kinds of stuff. We don't say, well, I'm going to spend the night up in the tree, you know, because animals do that. You know, why do we pick this one thing that animals do and think, well, since animals do it, I'm going to do it. Right? I mean, it's kind of funny, but you know, again, just kind of make a joke about it, because it's absurd. I mean, it's, you know, there are no rationalizations for eating animals that hold water. I've heard all of them, I think, in 40 years of giving lectures on this to thousands of people all over the world. You know, I've heard everything, and the good news is we're on solid ground. You know, we don't need to eat animals, and there's a few rationalizations that people use, like plants have feelings too, animals eat animals, Jesus ate animals. You know, it's like you can count them on one hand, kind of. They'll, you know, what you got to get protein or whatever. So the idea is to just say, you know, I realized the only reason I was eating animals was because I was just following orders, and I have the same rationalizations, and I realize it's not necessary. And just plant the seed and don't try to change the person. I would say, you know, it's really, you know, that kind of a thing, I think. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, one last thing. Susan, okay, go ahead.
Will, hi. Again, I just want to say that my friend and your friend, Nancy, I want to acknowledge Nancy joining us this time, Nancy Kogel. And Nancy just finished rereading The World Peace Diet, right, Nancy, for the second time in her long, 40 years of veganism, right?
Oh, wow. Well, great. So. Well, thank you.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
So much, Susan,
Thanks.
For inviting Nancy, and it's wonderful to have you with us, Nancy. I really appreciate it. That's mm-hmm. great. Great. And
okay.
It's wonderful to see all of you. It's wonderful to see Julie with us, who's doing a lot of work, Julie Griffin, to help bring the vegan message to a spiritual community. And, I mean, all of you. I mean, gosh, I start down that road. But it's great to see Tanya. Tanya's here in the Socrates. Bill, I mean, it's so great to see Bill. Bill just spent, like, weeks out in camping out in nature, and we just saw him a few days ago, which was great, here in Florida. And, I mean, oh, gosh. Patricia Todd, oh, we love you. Thanks for coming. And all you people, I mean, gosh, Suzanne and Davi, all the way from England, and Antoinette from, I mean, so many of you are just our dearest. We love you all. Thanks so much. And I hope we get to know each other better. And go forth and shine your light into the world. And, of course, on the third Thursday, you're all invited to join us again, and we can get more into the nitty-gritty of all these things at that time. So
I just want to thank my husband for turning me on to your book 4 years ago when I first became a vegan.
What was the first thing you said?
I wanted to thank my husband, Fred, who's on the call, for turning me on to your book 4 years ago. It was my first experience as a vegan. He had been a vegan already. You
know? I see. Great. So, thanks, Julie.
We're here.
Right. Thanks, Julie, and thank you, Fred. Yeah, thanks. Sharing this is always great. All right. Well, big hugs to all of you, and I'll get this recording up if you missed the beginning of the meditation, or if you want to share it with someone, yeah, feel free. Much love to you all.
Thank you, Will.
You say?
Enjoy your coffee tea. Bye.
Bye. Thank
you. All right.
Enjoy your coffee tea.
Pardon me?
Enjoy your coffee tea.
Yes.
It's so great.
Yeah.
It's so great that all the people there can enjoy you.
Oh. Yeah, listen, we're gonna be here at Hippocrates for this whole month of January, so come on down, you know, it's worth it. I mean, you can come down for a week or 2 weeks maybe. I mean, it's a great healing, recharging place. They're kind of under capacity right now, so, the more the better, definitely. All right, love you all. I'm gonna close the meeting, but, maybe we can just say together the prayer, just to close with the prayer. It's, compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Let's say that together.
Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere.
One more time.
Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere.
We hold that in our hearts, and so it is. Much love to you all. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.